Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Welcome back to another episode of eLaborate Topics. I am your host for this episode, Tywana Wilson. If this is your first time tuning into the show, welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in and checking out the show. eLaborate Topics is a weekly podcast that offers practical and technical strategies that you can use inside and outside of the laboratory. Myself, along with my co-hosts, Stephanie Whitehead and Lona Small, bring you relevant topics and strategies that you can use. We interview industry leaders inside and outside of the laboratory. If you are returning guests, thank you so much for continuing to listen. If you could do me a favor and share this podcast out with any laboratorian that you feel could benefit from hearing today's show. And really, the topic today is universal, so anybody, any professional that you feel could benefit from listening to today's show. You can share the show out from your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Or, of course, you can go directly to directimpactbroadcasting.com, and there you will find the eLaborate Topics show along with other podcasts. If you are interested in being a guest on this show, we are always looking for new people to interview as well as talking about other leading topics. You can go to Direct Impact Broadcasting. Up under the contact link, you will find the eLaborate Topics guest submission. So please submit. We would love to have you on the show and bring exposure to you and what you are doing inside of your laboratory. So let's jump right into today's topic. This is one that I am pretty excited about because we're always talking about being able to get promoted and moving up through the ranks. And so today is your quick survival guide for the new supervisor. And I'm telling you, I wish I would have known some of these things when I first got into my supervisory role. There's this quote by Roger Babson. It says, "It is wise to keep in mind that neither success nor failure is ever final." And I think when you move into a new leadership role, that's important to think about, because sometimes when you move into that role, it seems like everything that you do is not working. And so you can get frustrated and discouraged. Or it could be a time where everything is just thriving and going perfectly. And so keeping this quote in mind lets you know that it's a cycle. You could go through things and they'll be working really well today or this year, and you are gelling really well with your team and the team is moving forward. And then something could happen where you have a whole new team and maybe you're starting from scratch or starting from ground zero. But being a new supervisor can be intimidating. Very intimidating, especially when you like, okay, I'm new to this. I've transitioned from the bench, from peer to lead. How will you know what to do? What if you make mistakes? And you will. What if you don't know the answer and you won't have all the answers? I'm going to give you some tips to help you get to the path of being a great supervisor. Now, being a supervisor, let's take a step back, can happen in many ways. You could be hired from the outside of the company to take on a team. You might be assigned to create a brand new team. Maybe it's a brand new department. I know in one of the labs that I'm in, they are growing their outreach business. And so they've created a new service line. And there's the need for a new team. Or you might be promoted from within the team. Maybe you were a bench technologist and now you went to a coordinator and now you are the supervisor. But each situation requires some special skills in order to be successful. So let's jump into each of these ways and talk about some of the different things that's needed to be successful. Okay, let's talk about the first way. So what if you've been promoted from within the team? Being promoted from within the team is a huge challenge for new supervisors. Unfortunately, I cannot speak to this in great detail because most of the teams that I went to, I was new in that department or new in that organization. So this is something that working side by side with one another and then going to the leader has not been on my journey. But it is difficult to transition from being a team member to team leader, particularly in some of our laboratories today, or if you are responsible now for people's salaries or their raises, and even their schedules could create a little bit of tension. So to begin, some of the things that you could do is start by setting a good example from the moment you think you might be promoted to supervisor. So once you think that you got the opportunity, the role came open, and you think that you are going to be the person that's given that position, now you have to start setting the example. So whatever you might have been doing as peer, now you have to go ahead and think at the supervisor manager level. And when I say that, I'm thinking about some of our habits. So take this time to start curbing some of those habits that you might have. Some of those habits that you might have could be taking longer lunches. Some of those habits that you might have could be maybe gossiping between coworkers, or sharing information that's confidential with one of your good friends. Maybe you're not gossiping with the whole team, but you are sharing confidential information with one of your friends who will now be one of your employees. So you can start with identifying the source of some of these habits and creating an action plan that may help you identify areas for improvement within the team. Because again, now that you have transitioned from peer to lead, then you have went to another level. Now you have went from us to them, as they say, in the workplace. And you want to set yourself up for success. So training is going to be beneficial for this. You want to enlist your supervisor's help in determining some of the appropriate topics you can start working on and start getting proficient with. And some of these critical skills or topics that's going to be crucial for a new supervisor, and this is really regardless of whatever route you got to being a supervisor, is you're going to have to increase your leadership skills, because now you need to start making decisions. Now the team is looking at you to guide the ship. Your communication skills, that's one of the biggest things that happens in laboratories today, is that there's a complaint of we don't get communication, or the communication is not effective. And you have to communicate in a variety of ways today, because people's attention, and in the laboratories, the staff is coming in, they starting to get to their bench assignment. Checking emails is not the first priority of the person on the bench. They're coming in, they are having a shift-to-shift communication with their colleague, and so they may or may not get to your email. So having various ways to deliver messages will be important. Time management, because there are going to be way more projects than you have time for. And so being able to utilize your time effectively. Conflict resolution. Conflict will arise. People are people. And so you will at some point in your supervisory journey have to deal with conflict, whether that's changing somebody's schedule when they've been used to working certain days of the week or certain hours, and now you need to adjust to meet the business needs. Being able to communicate and deal with that conflict, knowing that it's not about you, or if you have to do any kind of corrective action. Being able to give feedback. We should be giving feedback on a regular basis and not just during an evaluation cycle. And team building. You're going to have new members of your team. You're going to have members of your team exit. You are going to go through that cycle where the morale might be down. So you have to figure out ways to keep your team engaged. And so these are just a few of the areas, important areas granted, that will be important for you as the new supervisor. So take the time to do careful observing. You know, what is the current supervisor or manager doing? What behaviors work for the team and which ones don't? This way you will get a clear picture of things that you can start to implement that might work better. But take that time to observe before you just start implementing a lot of new changes. Also, you want to get a clear job description and go over it with your supervisor so that there's no surprises and expectations. And review the job descriptions of your team members so that you are clear on what are the roles and the functions of each team. What I find being in management is that's one of the things that kind of lack is clarity. You get the job description maybe when you apply for the job or interview for the job. But once you are in the role, I think having that going over the job description and actual expectations of you as the new supervisor so that you have that on your plan of what you need to work on. And that of your team. So you're also informed if you have leaders up under you, what their role is, you know, if their role is similar in scope to yours, how does it overlap? Does it overlap? Sometimes when you have operations and you have technical, you know, sometimes it can blend, especially if you have team members that have transitioned up who maybe was in a technical role before. Now they're in a more of a supervisory or operations or administrative role. This is important. When you take over the role of supervisor, make sure you have a meeting with your team. Meet with your team. Explain that you've taken over the role and what the responsibilities are, especially if these could be different from what the previous person did in that role. Because if you don't have that meeting and start that foundation, the assumption is you are doing exactly what the previous person did in that role. And that could lead to some communication issues, especially if things have changed. You want to clarify that for the most part, things will continue as usual so that you are getting in and getting adjusted to your role. It's important to speed your first few weeks or spend your first few weeks setting up into your role, understanding the big picture before you start making those decisions. Again, get out, talk with your team, making sure you understand where the department is going from the top down. What are the expectations? What is your strategy? One of the biggest challenges supervisors who have been promoted from within the team face is the lack of respect because you are a team member. And so now some of your colleagues view you a certain way. Here's an example. Let's say you always had a habit of taking an hour lunch instead of 45 minutes, and most of the team had lunch with you. When you get promoted, you realize the behavior has to stop. Remember, we talked about some of the behaviors that you will have to change once you get promoted or as you know you're going to be promoted. But when you request the team to return from lunch and stay on time, remember, because we have business operations and business needs, we need people on the bench to do the work, to meet the turnaround time, to get stats out. They remind you of some of those previous habits and they tease you. In these situations, you know, what you can do is you can simply provide a logical explanation of changing your behavior. You can say something like, I know I often return late from lunch before, but that was before I realized how much it was costing the company. The company has this rule for a reason, and I think it's important that we all respect it. So that's a strategy that you can use to get from under that behavior. Unfortunately, people don't forget, but you know, the way that you move forward is the way that your team will get acclimated and respect you. But the biggest thing is to not to respond with emotion or jibes. You know, a logical explanation or simple, I don't think, you know, those kind of comments are appropriate, should make the position clear in a professional manner. Because you might get people to say, well, now you the boss. So now, oh, now this is an issue, or now this costing the company. So people may give some jabs. And that's one of the things that you can say is I don't think those kind of comments are appropriate. So those are some things to think about if you have been promoted from within the team. I think that's probably the most challenging way to get into a supervisor role, is because you do have that history, especially if you've been working side by side with people for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and now you're their boss. It's definitely doable. I see people transition from peer to lead all the time and are successful, but you do have to be mindful of some of those relationships and setting those boundaries early. So what do you do if you're leading a brand new team? So many supervisors feel like heading up a new team is one of the easiest tasks. After all, the team members, they don't know each other, and so there's nothing to argue about. However, one of the things that you might not think is when you are leading a brand new team, often there's no boundaries. You're learning each other. So you're learning each other's strengths. You learn each other's weaknesses. And so that takes time within itself, along with whatever project or department that you're trying to bring up. So some supervisors feel that this one is the most difficult rewarding challenges that a leader can face, because you have multiple things that you have to think about in this when you're leading a new team. Often, like I said, it comes with leading a new department or a new project as well. So trying to get up to speed on both really quickly and knowing who's a fit for what, who's a stronger player on this bench, who might be stronger in this, and being able to figure out the best way that the team can navigate. So to begin in this kind of a arrangement, make sure the team has a clear role and objective, because sometimes when things are new, it's kind of gray because you've not established, you know, what a clear schedule looks like. You've not established what your workload might look like. And this is important for short term or short project based teams, as you want to get in early and figure out, you know, what people are doing, what the roles of people are going to be. And then share the role with the team to help them focus on whatever their task is going to be. So these could be short, lean, or Six Sigma based projects where, you know, maybe it's only for 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and you want to get in and you want to identify roles. Make sure you have a clear roadmap of what you all want to work on and clear checkpoints. And so that's something that you want to do when leading a new team. One consideration in this route is sometimes employees that have been transferred to a new team, sometimes, especially within the same company, is that they can have a hard time letting go of their old positions and some of the things that they did in their previous roles. So that's just one kind of caveat that you should be aware of when leading a brand new team. So what happens if you are taking on an established team? So you are coming on board as the new supervisor for an established team. That can be tough too. So becoming a new supervisor, like I said, it is a rewarding opportunity and it's awesome, but it can be a bit challenging at times, regardless of the route that you get there. And when you're coming in into an established team, your primary objective really is to not appear to be a threat, but rather a helpful new resource and valuable ally. You know, the thing is with the team, they don't know you, they don't know your style, they don't know who you are, and they're trying to figure you out. It's a change for them. And so you don't want to come in and appear to be a threat or people can approach you. So begin by gathering information about the team's objective, the team dynamics, the history together. And if possible, it would be great if you were able to be introduced to the team before you started working there as their supervisor to get some time watching them do their work. But I understand that this doesn't always happen just because of the transition of your current role to your new employer. But the more that you can kind of interface with that new team, I think would be helpful. It's also important to get started on the right foot. So on your first day, you know, have a team meeting. You know, once you are done with your orientation and HR things that you need to do, but have a team meeting more so just to explain your role and what you will be doing in the coming weeks. And if possible, in those first few weeks, spend time getting to know your team. Spend that first week kind of watching what they do and just getting to know who they are. Spend some time. And one of the questions that you can ask the new team is that if you were me, what would you begin working on? So what would you feel would be the first one or two items that I should have as high priority on my list? So this might give you some insight, at least from a team's perspective, of what's working, what's not working. If possible, I would say avoid making major changes, if possible, right at the beginning, because again, you want to understand how the team does things, kind of understand the history, and be an observer rather than just a participant. So if you've been hired to make changes, you know, which sometimes happen, you know, set expectations for what will happen in the short term and long term so that people don't feel like you're just coming in and just like taking over and giving no consideration, because that will have it where the team is not in support. They might not be forthcoming with information, and they might not feel like they have an ally in you as their supervisor. So even though you have the job, the team is still looking and basically interviewing you as this new supervisor and determining if you're going to be better than the last person or if you're going to be for them in your first few weeks of being with that team, first few weeks of employment. There's this quote by Tommy Lasorda that says, "I believe managing is like holding a dove in your hand. If you hold it too tightly, you kill it. But if you hold it too loosely, you lose it." And it makes me think that you have to have some control and some order, but you also have to be flexible too, so that you are able to really get in, understand your team. But if you feel like it's gonna be my way or no way, or I have a set thing, this happens when people have been managers elsewhere and they come within an established team. They may say, well, this worked at organization A, I'm gonna do the same thing for organization B, and it doesn't always work. So here's some helpful tips, regardless of what route that you became a supervisor. Ask the right questions of the right people. So have you heard the saying, there's no such thing as a stupid question? We've all heard that, right? Well, it applies to supervisors and leaders too. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Asking questions is going to be great for you, especially at the beginning, because you really don't know. So you're like, I just want to understand. So just make sure you do your research and ask the right questions of the right people. As John Maxwell say, good leaders ask great questions. So being able to ask questions. And this means if you have a question about frontline activities, for example, go to a frontline worker. Don't go to somebody that doesn't work the bench and you're asking questions about workflow. That doesn't make sense. You know, or if you got questions about payroll, you would ask HR, like go to the source. Open-ended questions typically give the most information. These are your questions that ask your how, or start with the W's, the who, what, where, when, and why. And here's some ways to, if you're shy about asking questions, you can try to use a phrase such as, I'm just curious, you know, so I'm just curious, why do we do our schedule the way we do it, or I'm just curious why the benches are staffed the way they are, or I'm just curious of why do we press payroll the way that we do it. So those are some ways that you can kind of get in and start learning and understanding is asking the right questions. Go to Gemba. Gemba is a Japanese term meaning the actual place. This is critical. Now, the concept came from lean methodology and manufacturing-based systems, but it really does create maximum value with minimum waste. And why? Because going to Gemba means going to the place where the action is happening. If you want to see how, for example, payroll is handled, go to HR. If you want to see how productivity is being met on the chemistry bench, go to the chemistry bench. Like, you can't just go to your computer. You have to go to the source, go to where it is happening to understand. If you got questions about HR, go to HR. If you got questions about a neighboring department, such as processing, go to the processing department and understand kind of what they do. Watch what's happening, ask questions of the frontline staff, and get some hands-on experience. Doesn't hurt as well. So this inside knowledge that's going to Gemba is going to help make you better. You're going to be able to make smarter decisions, and you're going to be able to help your staff work smarter. So going to Gemba, if you have not heard that before, then, you know, that is going to be your go-to. Even if there's conflict in the workplace, going to the source is always going to be the best thing for you. And keep learning. I cannot express it enough, but keep learning. The most important task for any supervisor is to keep learning, keep growing. Your job and responsibilities can cover many different types of tasks, and so there's going to be a lot to learn. Start small, but aim big. Set your goals for yourself and keep working towards them. Earlier, I talked about those key areas, the leadership, communication skills, time management, conflict resolution, giving feedback, and team building. So think about those things to keep learning and keep growing in those areas. Those areas are going to help you be a better supervisor, a better manager, a better leader. Remember, training doesn't always have to take place in the classroom either. So look at non-traditional routes to help you get information. And make sure you're listening to staff and colleagues, reading books, listening to podcasts such as this one, reading journals, watching educational videos, making sure that you go to conferences to get relevant information in the industry. Those are all things. Get you a mentor, you know, invest in a mentor or coach, get into master classes, you know, online webinars. There is no lack of information in order for you to be successful. It's up to you to shorten your learning curve, and you can go by any of these routes to get the information. What I would recommend is that whatever route you choose, make sure you include a route that allows you to be able to ask questions and understand and learn from somebody. While self-study programs are awesome, I think those are very convenient. Sometimes you want to be able to give your situation to somebody and have them help you through it or walk you through it. So those are some things for you to be a great supervisor. I know that you can do it, and you will be successful in your new role as a supervisor. So keep learning, go to Gemba, ask great questions. So thank you for tuning in to this episode of Elaborate Topics. I hope if you are a new supervisor or looking to be a supervisor that you were able to get some practical tips. Please share this podcast out with anybody can use it. And thank you so much for tuning in to another amazing episode. Until next time, have a good day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics. where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.